Today we will be discussing planning versus improvisation when it comes to running a tabletop game. From plot to world building to conversations, we'll cover when it's good to have specifics in mind and when it's better to just roll with the punches. Welcome to Dueling GMs. I'm Joseph.
And I'm Anthony.
This is a show for GMs and players.
One about designs and details.
To build a better role-playing community. So let's talk about definition first. Planning versus improvisation. What do you got?
All right. In context of being a game master, planning would be a lot about how do you organize, how are you taking your notes, how much are you working ahead, how far might you be working ahead of the current place and location that the characters are at. And improv would obviously be how much are you willing to just kind of make it up off the cuff. I think we'll find we're probably doing a lot of compare and contrast between these two. At least for now, that's probably a good working idea. Do you have any other thoughts on a better definition or expanding on that definition?
Yeah, I think expanding on it, I like all that. I would probably just also tack on just how much, like you said, but just how much extra time, that you have your organization set up and prepared.
Sure.
Versus just doing it real time during
right,
a session.
Right.
So when is it a good time to do planning? When is it a good time for improvisation? Maybe let's list some like pros and cons. Let's start with planning, right? Planning. What are some pros that we got?
The more you're able to plan ahead, the more you're able to know the world that you're actually building. And so you can feel more confident in the information you're giving your players, and they'll pick up on that as well. And that leads to a lot less confusion. Well, you said this last week and you're saying this week, and I thought there were 12 deities in the pantheon and now you're saying there's 10, and you're like, oh yeah, I forgot two of them. They died, any sort of weirdness like that. And so sometimes not enough planning causes weird, awkward, extra improv that's not necessary. And you can kind of have a better idea of where the plot is going down the road. Some people, if you are too off the cuff, you may be, 6, 8, 10 weeks down the road and you don't really even have a major villain yet. You're waiting. I know it's somebody in the town, but I haven't decided who. And so if you're planning, you've already started guiding the players in certain ways. You've maybe already started dropping hints to the players about where the path may go. Remember, you're crafting a story together, and one of the big things that a good storyteller can do is foreshadowing. So if you're planning ahead and you know some of these things that may be coming up, you're able to provide that foreshadowing. Otherwise, you're kind of writing a children's book together.
Yeah, and a lot of great authors of various times have a lot of extra content of their world, right?
Oh, sure. Tolkien writing entire right. Novelettes and creating new languages and songs and stuff just so he can kind of understand his own world better.
Yeah, and doing that, whether it's homebrew world that you're making, or just the story that you're writing via module, et cetera, just knowing the world is very helpful. So even if you're reading ahead in a module, is a way of planning, so that you're not trying to make up a personality. If you find out in your planning that this is a villain, and you're not going to have them a lovable oaf, or maybe you are just for right. the twist.
You at least know to make that decision ahead of time instead of saying, "Oops."
Yeah, I really just made up the, but having that plan is definitely helpful for things like that.
Yeah.
And like you said, for just less confusion for the players, I made a mistake once where I referenced a name in like something that someone did, like an NPC that was like bad, like a slave driver essentially in a session. And then I didn't plan and I accidentally used the same name for someone totally different, and it really made the story quite unique. Because they're like, wait a minute, is that? And then they went through their notes. I'm like, oh, you're right. Like, that was my bad. I should have planned a little bit better on that.
But it is indeed the same name. You should investigate that further.
Right.
Frantically scratching things in your own notes now. Yeah.
Like, okay. That changes a little bit. But, it made it interesting. But, when is planning not that great? In contrast there. Well,
first thing is, if you don't have the time, really want to plan ahead, you want to dig in, whether it's an existing module or you want to craft the world or the town that your characters are going to be going to soon, all of that takes time. And if you don't have the time to do it, it's almost worse to try to hurriedly plan something and do it poorly. Rather than, planning to improvise your way through a particular situation, because at least you can be thinking about lots of concepts rather than fixating on, I still don't have a name for the tavern. They're going to ask me about a name for the tavern and I don't have anything. And, frantically get stuck in that weird writer's block world that sometimes happens. So that's one of the big things is planning takes time. And one of the other huge things is sometimes the more that we plan things, the more that we get married to our plans. So our stories, our characters, our concepts, our world becomes very inflexible. And so when any of the characters do anything off kilter that kind of, I don't want to say ruins, but if you're stuck in this mindset, then it in the moment it will feel like it ruins your world or it ruins this character. You're going to become extremely rigid and either come up with some sort of weird rule for why they can't do what it is they're trying to do, which you should rarely do as a GM, or you're going to push back in character and make the thing that you never want, which is the antagonistic GM against the party. All because, they wanted to, draw, weird pictures on the sign of the inn and rename it. The more you plan, the more you have to pay attention. Do I have a tendency to really get stuck on this particular plan?
Yeah, I definitely agree on those two things where, it takes time, from crafting everything in a city, NPCs, the conversations you might have with them, their mannerisms, all the details, right? And sometimes just schedules is hard enough just to meet once a week, let alone having the free time to go in and really dive into that world building. But yeah, the inflexibility, I can see that too, where like you said, you're set on that, that's going to be this NPC, whether they like it or not. And, and then it's going to be that. And if they were looking for something a little bit more fun, no, that's not this NPC. You're going to have to look elsewhere. It kind of shifts a little bit of the story or the feeling, I guess, where it's like, oh, I'm having fun, to, like you said, that antagonistic, like, oh, okay, then I'll find someone else who cares,
And I guess now's a good time to bring it up, because I know if you've been in the tabletop world long enough, the idea of, or you've heard the term probably, of railroading. And I think we're planning on doing a session talks a little bit more about that specifically, but I would venture a guess to say the people who are at least the most prone to railroading the plot would be ones who are over planners, not ones who are improvisers. But I think it's that inflexibility concept that really contributes to that.
Yeah. And so kind of on the other side then, and it might not be a complete, you know, mirror opposite. But what are some pros to improv?
If you are a whimsical type of person, you literally have the opportunity to make things up on a whim. And if somebody says, where did that come from? You're like, I don't know. Or does the book say that? Nope. Are we allowed to do that? Yep. You know, you can run with anything. Yeah. If you want to have a cool thing where the wizard waves their hand and the door opens and, you know, a spectral image walks through the door in the form of a beautiful woman, it happens because that's what popped into your head at the moment. You don't have to have a reason. You don't have to have an explanation for that. You don't have to, you know, nobody's going to be flipping through their book for which cantrips did they cast? In what order did they, you know? That's what improvisation allows you, you know, the potentiality to do. But if the same players are walking up to the same space and they're dead tired, the characters have just been through a long combat and you're like, it just doesn't seem to fit in the situation. And, you know, improvisational storyteller would say, okay, I had that. Let me maybe save that for another opportunity, or maybe the next time they come and revisit. But this would either be taken very poorly in the moment or wouldn't be appreciated. I can be flexible with that type of thing. So that's one of the big things for me is being able to be as whimsical as I want, and then also to pull back on anything maybe I have planned based on the status of the group at the time. I can continue thinking more. What are you thinking?
Oh, no, I like though that you're already sort of, you know, describing like how there are some things that you plan, other things that you don't.
Oh yeah, for sure.
But yeah, with improv, you know, having things that maybe don't have as important of a goal in your story, or it's like, you know, I need it in. It doesn't really matter what the name is as I'm telling the story. Maybe it does. But, you know, having that improv of, you know, well, you come across a nice, fun, you know, Boblin the Goblin, you know, improv, section there. Or, you know, everyone's looking for a blacksmith. Well, I originally didn't plan for it, or, you know, having that, like you said, the flexibility where all, you know, hey, sure, well, let's have a blacksmith here. You know, just sort of having that.
I wasn't planning on having one, but they were talking about needing to get a few things repaired. Sure, there's now a blacksmith in town.
Yeah. So it definitely adds, but it might take away from that. What's the word? Like the challenge sometimes. When like all of a sudden a blacksmith's there, but it also might add more fun.
Right.
So, you know, if you're, you know, a fan of that combination, that's also, you know, a good setup there. Anyway. So what are some improv cons then?
Never really knowing until the moment, whether that's a name, whether that's a location, and then the likelihood of not remembering or misremembering because you just made it up. And, you know, you say it and you're thinking, hopefully somebody writes that down because I didn't. Mm-hmm. And so if they ever say, well, who was that one guy? Then you almost have to turn it back around in the group and say, I don't know. You tell me, who was it? Yep. And it becomes a guessing game. If it's like our group, maybe if you're lucky, one person wrote it down of the eight people playing.
Right.
I mean, let me bounce back to another really big upside to improv, at least that I found with the groups that I've done. It often allows an opportunity for more buy-in for the group, because I think we've talked about this before, the more that you can have your players contribute to building the world, the more they're going to take ownership of it, the more they're often going to try to protect it instead of destroy it, which I know some groups have that problem of being the murder hobos that I just want to burn everything to ground and loot it all because it's the GM's world, it's not mine. But I found little things like saying, You guys come across three taverns. There's one that's really highbrow and costs a little more. There's, you know, one that's over by the wharf that's a little bit more, you know, people might get beat up as they go in. And there's one that's kind of for the common folk. Which one do you want to go to? Great. Okay, you're going to go to this one. What's it called? I gave you a basic general description of it. You tell me what it's called and I'll write it down so we remember. And now people are starting to name things. And, you know, there's jokes about, you know, whether it's puns or you know, inside jokes or whatever, and people start to remember that. And then when they go back, they're like, oh yeah, because we named that one and it was really funny. And it becomes a lot more of our world instead of your world. And you can see a difference sometimes in the way that players play their characters by virtue of whether they feel like they're playing in your world or whether they feel like they're playing in a collective world. And that's something as simple as just allowing for some improvisational spontaneity.
Yeah, I will provide a counterpoint, though. Sure. Pro for planning is, you know, you can look at their backstories. You can weave that tapestry to include them from a planned perspective instead of just saying, you know, oh, all of a sudden there's a sin. Is there someone that I know there? Let me look. You know, like that level of improvisation could take away from that story that is cohesive and, you know, collected. Or, you know, I want to come across someone. Yeah, let me see here. I'm going to randomly think of a name. And it just sort of cuts away from the story, right?
Right, right.
And so, you know, that buy-in is now getting lost at times with just sure. waiting and like, okay, I'm losing interest fast. Like, do you right. know what we're doing or not?
Well, that's when a good GM should know, hey, nobody's got any immediate ideas. Nothing jumps out. Okay, that's at least bought me some time that I came up with the name in the interim. We're going with this. Mm-hmm. So you can do that. So counterpoint to your counterpoint.
Sure. What do you got?
Well, we've already hinted at it. I like to do both and. Yeah, and same. we'll talk through that in more detail. When is the right time to do one? When is the right time to do another? But I'll give you an example, and I'm going to possibly blow your mind here because it relates to the current character you're playing in our current campaign. Okay. With this exact situation. There are many people that you guys have met that I made up the names on the spot because it honestly didn't matter, and so I jotted it down in the moment. You know, who is the name of this this bartender at what is the name of this hotel again, or this tavern? Oh, it's the Hardy Harvest. Ben Sornakis, and I just made that up and wrote it down so I would remember it even if nobody else did. However, you have everybody has an interesting group of characters in our current campaign where all of your characters have had previous lives and you don't remember much of them. You have discovered your character's previous name was what? Do you remember?
I do not, to be honest.
Yeah, I do, because that was one of the times that I actually planned it and the names actually meant something. Mira was your character's previous name in a previous life. Your father, Erlen, because it was a very academic, sciencey family, and I thought, wouldn't it be fun if I named them after some sort of weird science equipment? And so you have an Erlenmeyer flask. Your mother's previous name was Florin, which is another type of flask for, you know, beaker type of thing for chemistry lab types of equipment. Mm-hmm. So all of those were, even though they sounded like just weird random names, they actually had meaning, and I picked those for a particular purpose. But there are 90% of the ones of the people that you've met off the cuff, doesn't matter. You tell me, you know, I could care less. Or I couldn't care less. But yeah, so sometimes, and it's fun because your players don't always know, did this name come off the cuff or does it have value? I don't know. Does it have value to you? And so it becomes a back and forth. So
yeah. I think you counterpointed the improv though at the same time.
Just saying potentially
that buy-in is independent of planning or improv.
It may be, but also like I planned those names and you didn't even remember the names that I planned, but you probably remember some of the names that I made up. And it may be because you helped come up with those names.
Yeah.
So, plenty on either side there. Sure. Another big downside on improvisation is that you often don't have a clue where you're going with the story, with the characters. And again, that gets into a little bit more of plot development. But usually if it's 100% off the cuff, the players know it pretty quickly. And good players will just kind of chalk it up as, oh, okay, it's a tavern night. It's a character development night where we're just going to spend the entire time, you know, just talking around the campfire and getting to know each other. And it allows the GM to kind of gather their thoughts or maybe plan ahead a little bit in the middle of those conversations. I think that's one of the big things is you can rely so much on improvisation that maybe the characters fly through some of the things that you've got sort of kind of planned, and then you're reliant on your improvisational skills to get you through, and then you're like, I got nothing. You guys caught up to me. You're too far ahead of where I'd even thought through, much less, you know, written down anywhere. And so I mean, I know it's happened with even the best of people where they're like, I just got to call it early tonight because I need to figure out where I'm going with this, or let's take a week off even because you guys went in a completely different direction and I'm not able to on the fly completely, you know, roll with the punches enough to be able to just make this up. So that's one of the big downsides to improv for sure.
Yeah. I also feel like improv takes more of a learned skill.
For sure. Yes.
Where planning is, you know, you take notes. We've done it all through at least school at some point or another.
You're at least taught to, whether you did it or not.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. So you at least know how to do it. You know, being taught improv is not as common, I guess we could say.
Yeah. Well, and I think some of that comes down to knowing your own personality. There are some who were taught in school how to take good notes, how to have good organizational skills, and the notes that they took on how to take good notes probably got lost in their book bag that same week. So you know who you are, right? There are some people who, no matter how much they try to be organized, they try to plan ahead, they just can't. They're the ones to turn things in last minute, possibly turn things in late. It doesn't necessarily mean that they do a poor job of what they do, though. And conversely, there are some people who are overly organized and do things, you know, ahead of schedule, and the stuff that they turn in is terrible, right? So it doesn't mean that planning guarantees a good story guarantees a good game. And the improv guarantees, you know, the opposite. But yeah, you need to know your own personality. I know I tend to always hedge toward spontaneity. And so if I try to be overly planning, then I get so bogged down. I have pages and pages of like if then statements of because that's the only way I know how to plan. Because even in my planning, I'm planning for the spontaneous. And so then I have all this stuff and the whole time I'm thinking, but what if they do one of these, they haven't taken one of these five options I've given them. They try option six or seven. And because again, that's the way my brain works. That's the way I try to do things when I'm playing is let me keep the GM and all the other players on their toes. Let me come up with an option they didn't think existed. So even when I'm planning, I tend to overplan sometimes and plan for those weird off kilter, you know, options. And I can get lost in the weeds sometimes on my planning because that's not necessarily a strong suit for me. But and I know you're more on the flip side a little bit of you tend to prefer planning, but then you can lean into the improv, right? So how does that look for you? The way that I described it, what's the thought process for you?
Yeah, like I think, I mean, I don't use if then statements for planning. I guess, like, I don't know, like in one of our campaigns that I ran, what, you know, it was very faction heavy, right? The the urban faction, and you know, I planned, you know, just with, you know, some tables, like some of the interactions, not between you and the NPCs, but just with the NPCs and each other, and it created kind of like the next logical step for, you know, this, well, you know, we got Bob and we got Jeff, right? So Bob, you know, has a rivalry with Jeff, and Jeff is your mentor. Well, what's Bob going to do? Well, there's a few options, right? He's going to try to undermine Jeff, try maybe make you his mentee, or just sort of sabotage the whole thing with Jeff and you. So there's a lot of different ways, but just in my mind, it's just what makes kind of that logical storytelling, or, you know, if there's a twist that I want to add, it's sort of like, okay, well, the general twist there might be that they're, you know, not just rivals, but maybe lovers too. And it's that, you know, I'm going to be better. It's almost like, you know, what children do in terms of, you know, pinching each other, trying to one up each other, but also just, you know, it's that, you know, that the,
I'm doing it because I'm interested in you, and I want you to stay interested in me. Focus on me. Don't focus on somebody else.
Yeah. Right. And that's why the attention is still just drawn. And so, like, if that twist is sort of there, you might not realize it. It might not even be prevalent or anything, but it's just like, okay, I know. And if you do something off the cuff, like, I don't know, read thoughts, or, you know, sneak into their, you know, quarters and, you know, start looting the place, and you find a journal, maybe it's worded not what you expected, and now it, you know, it sort of just adds other things there. But is that necessarily part of the plan? Oh no, but I sort of have that general idea, and if you find those details, like, or by looking at the plan of, you know, the twist that, you know, they are in fact lovers,
I didn't expect. So you can plan for concepts and then be able to run off the cuff if those concepts are kind of revealed, or you have to kind of dip into it a little bit.
Yeah. Because I don't want the reveal to make zero sense whatsoever. Sure. And so it's like, you want to figure out why they're rivals? Well, there's the twist. Like, I didn't know if you were even interested in the why, but I guess I planned the why. And then the how sort of is a bit more impromptu.
Sure. That makes sense.
Yeah. So what, like, what are some tips or techniques for planning versus improv?
Let's see, which one do you want to tackle first? I guess we've been saying planning first and then improv, right?
Yeah, we'll start there.
Okay. So here's some things that I use when I'm actually planning things out. And this sometimes, I guess, this will also spill over into like story building as well, but that's, you know, can't really be helped too much. I work a lot with Google Docs, and I work a lot with like even Google Sheets, that type of thing. And I have folders where things are separated out, again, when I'm in the mood for planning. So some campaigns that I run, I have lots of details. And then other campaigns that I run, I have, well, I'll, when we get into the improv side of things, I'll tell you what happens then. Sure. But I will typically focus on either story arcs or even like out of game lengths of time, you know, spring 2022, right? And so what are the main plot points? What are the main cities that may be visited? Who are the main NPCs that are probably going to crop up during this period of time? And then I'll develop a whole document that maybe has a lot of that stuff. You guys in your current campaign have done a whole bunch of library looting. And so I've got pages upon pages of, you know, textbooks, titles, and some basic stuff that I pulled from like pre-planned to pull randomly from generators and stuff like that, just to have interesting things to add to the plot. So I have a lot of that in a singular document. So if it's, you know, a certain length of time, or if I know this is your character Anna, if this is something related to Anna's character arc, it may be under, you know, a document that says Anna. Right now you're in a place, because we're in Wildmount in the Critical Role world there. And so you guys are currently exploring the ruins of Malaismir. So my current document where I have all my notes is just a document called Malaismir. But I have anything where you guys are trying to reference previous things, you can look, I can pull it up and say, okay, you guys are talking about back in Zarzith Kitrel. Let me open up the Zarzith Kitrel document. It has all the NPCs you talked to, all of the storylines that you went through, the loot that you found in those particular things. Because, hey, didn't we get this at the Dwarven Mine? I can go back and see how many of those did you find? What did you do with those? No, I have it crossed out. It somehow got lost, whatever the case is. So I can go back and relook at those things. And the nice thing is, again, because I'm a both and person, that's a live living document for me. So even as you're playing, I'm adding things to it. If it's a new character, I can add in the new, you know, the NPC. If there's some more loot because I feel generous that day, I'll drop it in because, you know, I made a mention that you saw something shiny sticking out of the dirt, and I'm like, oh crap, what is the shiny thing? And I have to come up with something, you know, put it in there. So that can be the planning ahead. But even in the moment, if I decide to get spontaneous, I can add it to the plan then. That's the big way that I actually plan for like overarching campaigns and stuff like that. And I think, again, in a week or two, we'll get into more specifics of how to craft stories. And so I can get into more details of how I planned those out. But it's a similar fashion, but just a little bit more unique tools. But that's probably the biggest thing for me, at least on planning side of things. What about you?
I would say for me, I definitely start with like the concepts around the characters, right? It's their story. And so you know, when I think of like world building, you know, if they didn't provide me with maybe a faction or two or an NPC or two that they know, I'll, you know, work with them probably near the beginning. So I'm very similar with like Google Docs, you know, sheets, where I'm linking NPCs, like especially if they're, you know, ones that are worth detailing, I'll definitely link them like in a sheet, you know, to other documents of like where, who, you know, some, and then like in those documents, I would kind of go into the detail of like what are some things that they're interested in, you know, they're, you know, if they're worth giving a personality, then, you know, and quests and other things like that, then, you know, I throw that in there with the NPC. If it's just the place itself, like I'll list a few places, but if someone is interested in more than what's there, yeah, maybe, you know, I'll improv that. But I also, you know, so that the things that are closest to the characters, I want to make sure that it gets the attention and love that it deserves, whether they actually are interested in it or not. But I also, you know, just want to make sure, like, you know, that town, that city that they're in, the area is kind of like at least defined maybe a week or two in advance. You know, we kind of talked about at various times of like, if this was a quote unquote book, as the author, I want to make sure I'm, you know, a chapter or two ahead, but also a few different chapters like written out. So like if they generally do option A versus drastically option B versus drastically option C, that hopefully that covers most of it. You get to know your players and their characters' decisions. So kind of having that general idea, but again, that's a little bit more plot centric.
Sure. I'll give you my super rough comparison to that. Yeah. I tend to do a very sandboxy world. Right. So instead of chapter by chapter breakdown, I have basic plot points, concepts for each city or each region that you may go to, and then I can reference them and start to develop them once I figure out where in the world you guys are going. And prior to you getting any sort of like planar travel or teleportation, that's a little bit easier most of the time, although you guys still surprise me, to assume the next town over is where you're going to go. And so I can say, okay, I've got a week or two before they get there, and so I can start to plan ahead and develop those concepts into detailed things. It gets a little more difficult when you guys start to teleport and I'm trying to get information ahead of time from you, or you end a session and I'm trying to get out of you. Okay, next week, where are you headed? We'll decide, when we start next week. Okay, cool. I don't know how to plan for that then. So then I have to kind of plan three things at once. But yeah, that's instead of a chapter by chapter, because I allow a little bit more sandboxing, I'd almost do city by city to develop the chapters based on where you go. And like I said, we'll get into more details of how to make both of those concepts work, I think, next week.
Yeah. But yeah, so I mean, I like to do chapter by chapter because, it's like that, like you said, that planning maybe by city, but like you don't, if you know what city they're heading to, then you can sort of write up, well, where is the city at now?
Right. Not
where, where was it before? What's changed? Things like that. So, it gives it that living, breathing world if you just, have that enough planning to know, what's the delta between where it was when they were last there versus where it's at now.
Yeah.
Where it's at now. So
one other thing that I used in a previous campaign, because I happened to have access to, and was when we were meeting face to face. So, you needed more compact stuff and I didn't have multiple screens in front of me and tablets and whatever I wanted to have access to. I just had a very large, like oversized tablet at the time. I don't know if you remember that or not. Mm-hmm. And one of the things that I found was something called Google Jamboard. And I loved it. I didn't find it until closer to the end of the campaign. And it basically kind of worked like an Evernote type of thing. Yeah. And I was using Evernote for a while. And then they decided to make everybody pay for it. And so I decided I didn't want to use Evernote anymore. Google Jamboard is almost like a way to do like your own Google Slides, but you can take your notes, you can add, drop in pictures, whatever. So I started doing a very similar thing where I almost kind of created my own, like they call them jams, but basically creating my own like slideshow for the places that you went to, or I had, a particular slide for, here's all the end game content. You guys kept getting prophecies. You guys kept getting poems that you had to piece together. There were rules of a contest you were participating in. I had all that on one screen, but just swiping the tablet, it would take me to another screen with more screenshots. I had combat set up where I could show you guys pictures of monsters. And right beside it, I had the stat blocks of those monsters for that entire fight. I could swipe, one more page over and I could get to the content of the description of the next city. And so like I turned all of the stuff that would normally be like a Google Doc or something really boring or stretched across multiple pages. I just had lots of screen grabs and screenshot content and like turned it into this collaborative, like a collage to just squeeze as much detailed information as I could on one page. And then every time I swiped, it would go to a different thematic page that had more details about that, whatever that theme was. And I found that be super useful. It's not as helpful now without like the giant screen to just keep swiping. And I've got tabs all over the place instead. But yeah, I keep forgetting that that thing exists, and I don't think anybody's really developing it at all anymore. But yeah, look into Google Jamboard, or let us know in the comments if you found something similar that is actually continuing in development, because it's a pretty cool concept.
Yeah, and there's other ones that are, you know, more subscription based as well. World Anvil as another example.
Sure.
You know, there's plenty of options depending on if you want to pay or not. But I think that helps kind of gives you either spatial or temporal context, I guess, of your world.
Yeah.
Or both. But I think that's super helpful for planning the world that's kind of around where the player characters are going to be at. And it just, you know, helps with a little bit more definition whenever I plan, for sure.
Yep.
On the other side, for improv, how do you make improvisation easier?
I have a giant stack of index cards in front of me at any given time.
Of what?
Well, blank, but then I also have a giant stack of index cards that have been utilized. Basically, anytime you guys go to a new town, it's sometimes easier for me to just make random notes about random things with a pen. Maybe I have multiple tabs open all over the place, which is another thing I use for the improv side of things, is continuing to open new tabs, and I can just, tab over to the information that I need, should I need it, and I have it on hand if and when we get to it. I guess that's a way to plan for improv. But yeah, what I end up writing down on these, like, let me see if I can pull up. Well, we'll use the example of the world that we started developing when we did our workshop. So this isn't even as a GM, but I would treat it the exact same way for when I'm playing. I have at the top of this particular index card, which wasn't even the first thing I wrote, but I left it open for it. Eventually I wrote snot and phlegm. And so anything related to this character, as I'm flipping through, I'm like, oh, that character, there was a few details that we wrote down. So let me find this. And I've got the name of along the side. I've got the name of the other PCs from the group, Violet, the fighter, battlemaster tiefling, the Cyril Silveraxe, the Clockwork Sorcerer, and Amber, the druid, the Wildfire Druid, and I've got in parentheses red, because her skin was red, right? I've got the class, my class, the Drake Warden Ranger. We started at level 5. I jotted down eventually that I had an acid drake, because I figured that out. And what hadn't come up yet, but I jotted this down, because I would have forgotten it, because I had already forgotten it. But now as I'm looking at it, I'm like, oh yeah, that was a cool idea. The Drake that I have was hatched from a geode that I now use, the half of the geode as my arcane focus. And I jotted all that down, like just as we were playing on the fly. I've got another index card that I pulled from the exact same thing that I was jotting down about the world. So, as you were talking about, there's a war between the surface dwellers and the underdwellers. Have that little thing jotted down. We ask, is it high fantasy? Yes, high fantasy. Names, Redfall, Silver Heights, names of people, Steel Mount, all that sort of stuff. So that's all jotted down. And so even when I'm playing, I'll do the same thing that I do when I'm GMing. If somebody comes up with a name and I say, hey, okay, what's the name of that tavern there? They say it, I write it down. Underneath of that, I write down the name of the tavern keeper, because they're not going to remember. It's my responsibility as a GM to remember, so I should probably write it down. And so I've got, for every town that you guys go to, I've got a new index card with all the information that I had given to you in any, format, as long as it wasn't something I had pre-planned. If it was a town you were just kind of passing through, I've got the name of the taverns that you went to. I've got the name of any of the shops that you went to. If you got a name from a tavern keeper or from you know, shopkeeper, I have that name written down. So if you ever go back, even though I made it up on the fly, I know I'm going to give you the exact same names. If there was a situation you were dealing with, or something that you bought from people, or something maybe that you found that you liked the idea of, but you couldn't afford it, I jotted that down on the index card. That way, if you ever go back to the place and you say, hey, what about that thing that you told me you were going to hold for me? I then have to decide, oh, no, I sold it. Or, yeah, you wanted me to hold it for you. I promised you, and it's right here. And I don't have to say, well, I don't remember that. So, yeah, I mean, I've got index cards for every single city that you guys have been to on this current campaign. And then I've got a plastic index card holder that I just put them away every week, and I pull it back out when we're getting ready to start. There may be times that I know you're about ready to enter a city and I'm working ahead just a little bit, that I'll write the name of the city and I'll write some people's names, or maybe I'll even have, I don't have a name, but I know there's probably going to be a situation you need to talk to the captain of the guard. I'll write down captain. I know you'll maybe meet the mayor. I'll write down mayor. And as the name comes to me in the next 5-10 minutes, as you guys are playing, I'll write it down. It's a way to kind of help jumpstart my thought process, so that I don't have to stammer my way through when the inevitable question comes of what's this person's name, or what's the layout of the town, or, you know, who, you know, what's the name of the dog, whatever it is that people are asking. I can at least kind of, I can play to my strengths and be spontaneous, but I know what questions are coming, and I'm just going to fill in, you know, it's like playing Mad Libs with myself, really, is what it is. But I've got a card for every single place. That way, if I ever need to look back up, I just have to shuffle through until I find the right card. And then I have all the details that might come up about that particular location.
Gotcha. That's all super, super helpful for sure. So, I mean, when it comes to improv for me, it's sometimes is, a weakness for sure. So as weird as this sounds, like I might have a couple of like not pre-generated PCs, but a concept that's pre-generated.
Sure.
But not like a character name, not even what they do. So if someone's like, what's the tavern owner? Like, I'll have some notes of like concepts, like, and sort of just pick one at random. It's almost like my own random table, but it's a little bit more like, you know, here's like what they're interested in. Here's their personality. So without going into like super detail, it's kind of like, okay, this person's just more of a nervous, individual, and so they'll be like, okay, I'm gonna go up to, well, what's the tavern owner's name? And I'll be like, well, you know, first you see the super skittish person, and I might be using like a random generator just to get a name, and then I'll sort of describe them first before a name comes, because that's kind of like what they're seeing or hearing first before they actually ask the person, you know, who they are.
That works.
So yeah, I use a lot of like random generators for sure in terms of, you know, helping with that. And then I just have just a running like doc for basically as the session's going, like if like kind of like your index thing. But, you know, if it's like, you know, a new place, it's just a, you know, new page. I see value in that for sure. But I might not list all the details, but I might just be like, you know, see nervous NPC, you know, cutout kind of thing, because then I might have like, you know, like that awkward nervous tick, or, you know, like something that makes them identifiable without,
sure, yeah,
you know, really fleshing them out, I guess you could say. Yeah, that's usually what I do. But nice. Random tables for sure. That's my jam when it comes to improv. Or like we talked about before, just sort of like, hey, what do you want? you know, even generating the session zero world that we did in one of our podcasts. You know, a couple of the things that you had asked me, like, I didn't know because that was sort of part of the workshop itself. But, you know, things like that happen. And, you know, having everything planned, again, is too much for a brain at times.
Right.
So I was like, well, let me think about that, you know. And it's like, okay, well, what would make, you know, sense for me? And so, you know, when one of the players was like, okay, well, I came from, you know, the under city or under surface thing, like, I'm like, okay, well, I don't have a name yet.
Right. Yeah.
It, you know, like, you know, we're making this together, but, like, you know, describe it to me. And they were talking about how it was definitely more, you know, another mining city. And I was like, okay. And then I think he mentioned about like, and again, this was like, okay, well, you're a polearm master. I'm like, oh, like, what about just like mining cart jousting, you know? So like steel mount, like that sort of just came about. Like, I'm like, okay, well, maybe that's like the thing that they're known for. I didn't have that name originally. But it just sort of like, again, like sort of pseudo logical conclusions, I guess. But, you know, that's sort of how my improv is like, oh, like, you're jousting underground and I'm mining, you know, stronghold. Well, okay, I got something, I think.
Yeah, I can work with that. You gave me enough to work with. Yeah.
Right.
Outside of the index cards, I do tend to have lots of sticky notes, and those are usually just like half baked ideas, like things that I want to eventually put into documents somewhere, but I don't have enough of a concept, and so it's just like sticking to my monitor or sticking to the desk as a reminder, hey, you need to flesh this out a little bit more. And then when I do, I can take the content there. So sometimes it's just like the two of the three that I'm looking at right now that are currently on my desk are basically loot list, but it's things that I maybe want to have available for you guys to find. But I haven't fully decided, or I haven't fully, you know, ruled out certain ones on the list. And I don't want to give you all of them, or I definitely want to give you some of them, but I haven't decided where they're going to be, that type of thing. So it's sitting in front of me for me to deal with. So that was like improvisational, reminding me to plan this. If I don't, it'll still be sitting here, you know, months from now, and you guys will have completely passed them up, and I just will have forgotten to give them to you.
Yeah.
So that's some of those for sure.
No, I like that. And the other thing that I sometimes do, and that's like setup of like fleshes out more, and it might sound weird, but if you have a general gist of where you'd like your story to go, or even just a couple of like subplots, you know, if you just have those on note cards, you can improv some tiny details for that foreshadowing. So it seems like you're planning a lot more than you really are. You know, if you're like, okay, you know, I'm going to have this, you know, undead lich be the main villain. Well, I'm going to, you know, make references to them in a local necromancy scenario, or, you know, in a weird, you know, discovered, you know, old dark magic library or something, you know, like, just so it looks like you're doing a lot more in terms of planning. You know, you're dropping those hints, and then when you feel like you have enough to work with, either from planning or from just real-time session running, you can, you know, craft a little bit more and say, all right, here's the direction I'd like the story to go. And if they continue to pursue this, you know, one-off named undead creature, then you know where to start planning or improv.
Well, and I sometimes will take that idea, and it seems like you are amazing at your foreshadowing. You know, where you pass on little bits of information you've jotted down. But if anybody were to push on the subject, you know, I would have to say, dude, you know as much as I do at this point. I literally gave you everything I have written down. It seems like I'm giving you lots of good hints, but it's because that's all I've got.
So you don't tell them that, you just say cloak and dagger mystery.
It's a hint, it's a clue in the right direction, but then that forces you to be sold on that, and now that becomes a key to you developing whatever it is that you're going to continue planning. Exactly. Where it was just kind of a thought, it picked out of thin air sometimes, but you said it, and you need to write it down if you haven't already written it down, because now that's like the one clue they're going after.
Right.
And you do the Hagrid thing sometimes of, I should not have said that.
Yeah. But if you do say it and they're not interested, then you don't have to, you know, like imagine if you planned all of that and they just weren't interested.
Yeah. They didn't take the bait at all. Yeah.
Then, you know, then that is what it is. In which case sometimes, you know, there is a sense sometimes of, I just want to spill all the lore and give you all the details as a GM, but you can't do that. You know, you have to still slow valve, the information at times, or if they're not interested, then you just close that up. And if it comes up again by different means, to whatever reasons, et cetera, but don't force it, you know, like that's still that, whether it's planned or not, you just have to know, you know, that this is a collaborative story, and you know, if you are forcing it, then it's now just something you want to do, and
right, and yeah, at that point it's you really saying, I spent all the time writing this down, you're going to take the time to hear all the things that I wrote down, and again it becomes my story, not our story.
Yeah, and that kind of goes back to what you were saying with that personality of, is planning or improv the choice that you want to lean towards, whether that's heavily or a little bit. You know, if you aren't comfortable with them, you know, uncovering certain things that you plan, you might want to lean towards the improv just because of that. Like, or if you don't think that, you know, you're telling a cohesive, detailed story because you're just winging it off the cuff in, you know, from session to session without any planning in between, you know, then you realize and you might want to lean towards the other side a little bit. But I think personality, I think going back to that, like what you said with personality kind of dictating that, you know, you can definitely see where, you know, I said one thing to everyone that probably irked you the wrong way, and that's your personality saying, I'm going to choose the other side. So is there any other things you want to kind of cover? We talked about different ways of making planning and improv easier. Do you have any other tips, techniques, or other parting thoughts even?
On both sides, if you want to get better at planning, learn to figure out the best way for you to record information, whether it's writing it down, you have a notebook, maybe you even got a binder with things. Maybe you do the index card method as your way of actually being organized. Or you go the digital route, right? And you have Google Docs, you have, you know, Evernote, whatever it is that you're using to consolidate all of your information. World Anvil is great. There's a, like Joseph said, there's a number of other websites out there that you can go above and beyond on your world building and story building and stuff. But figure out what works for you and start small. Start jotting down little bits of information. And then over time, allow yourself to expand on that. Maybe say, okay, rather than just sitting down and jotting this down so I don't forget about it, what's the entire plot of this new campaign? Gnome midget with funny hat. Got it. I don't know the BBEG, but that's the premise of what we're running with. Maybe take the time to say, okay, if I had 5 minutes, if I had 10 minutes, how could I expound on this just a little bit to make it a little bit better? Because I know, like I said, for some people, planning is hard. So figure out ways to ease your way into it. It's just like eating healthy or exercising or, you know, whatever it is that you know is a good habit that you don't do well. Don't start crazy. Don't say, okay, I haven't done this planning thing, but I'm starting a new campaign next month, and so I've blocked off this entire weekend to do nothing but write. You're gonna fail, and you're going to fail miserably. So do not do that to yourself. That's like saying, hey, I need to train for this marathon session I haven't run in the last 16 years, except to, you know, chase down, you know, the dog that stole my sandwich, you know, and so I'm going to wake up. The marathon is next weekend, but I think I got enough time to train. I'm going to get up and run 10 miles tomorrow. You're going to fail and fail miserably. So start small and build up to it. That's the big thing on the planning side. On the improv side, allow yourself time to, or the opportunity to not know ahead of time. And do it in the small things that they're insignificant. Names, locations sometimes, maybe even finer details of the plot. The more you are comfortable letting go just a little bit of the over planning, the better. That's the big thing there. And again, it's start small. If you're the over planning type, the last thing you want to do is to plan an entire one shot where you sit down and say, all right, guys, while you make the characters, I'm going to figure out what in the world we're going to do today. You're not going to enjoy it. Your players are going to have a lot of time where they're waiting for you to figure out what the deuce is going on. So again, even in that, start small, but learn to figure out ways where you can start let going of the over planning just a little bit and allow yourself to say, I don't know, let me think about it and make it up. And you can start easing into those moments a little bit better, I think. What do you think? Parting shots on tips.
Yeah. I mean, to make planning easier, you know, just kind of going through, you know, just to help save on time, you can still use random generators. And from there,
absolutely,
you can,
yeah,
you know, sort of say, well, this one doesn't make sense. Let me just, this sparks an idea. Let me work with this randomly generated thing and sort of weave it into, you know, my tapestry of ideas. And, you know, as weird as that sounds, like usually it's like, oh, improv is all about random, you know, generation. But yeah, it does help alleviate time when planning, for sure.
Yeah.
But it also allows you, it forces creative uniqueness that you might not have thought of before in your inflexible, you know, plan. You know, it's going to be this and only this, you know, in this world, or but when I randomly generated something, it's a little outside that box, and I can work with this, you know, like,
yeah, it wasn't exactly what I had in mind, but this might actually be better. Who knows?
Yeah, exactly. Hey, and you know, having a little bit of thought of that definitely goes a long way. And like you said, like for improv, you know, just having a couple of, you know, organizational things like from session to session. And if you have at least a gist of where you want to go, it's better than not having a gist. You know, having a direction, even if you don't have all the details yet and it's just a vague, you know, undocumented map and a compass, maybe that's something. I think for improv, you know, to make that a little more, what's the word, structured, I guess, to help make it seem a little bit on the planning side of things. But, you know, to alleviate that stress of, I got to come up with, you know, a plot right away. Right. Like, you know, like, you know, you can sort of think about that just a little bit and have that be, like you said, on note cards or, you know, documented on docs or what have you, even if it's just vague concepts, you know, a vague concept of an NPC, a vague, you know, session for, you know, what they might be doing. Just even 5 minutes of, well, you know, they left off at the tavern. They're the type to not want to stay at the tavern for long. So let's, you know, improv a quest giver in the tavern to get them out the door. Or they really like to stay in the tavern. So let's improv ways of keeping them there longer. You know, it's just, sure, You know, just sort of having a little bit of thought of just like, oh, what do they like to do? And sort of just run with that. And it's part of your improv, just sort of have a vague sense of what they like and what direction they want to go. Kind of helps.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's good. Well, I have a count for you. Would you like to know how many index cards currently have stuff scribbled all over them for your current campaign, which we are coming up on our 2-year anniversary?
Let's hear it.
18.
18. All right.
I don't know if that's high or low in your mind, but I counted 18 things. Some of them literally just have a place and a name written. Some of them are completely covered. Some of them are even front and back. But yes, 18 different index cards for different places or things that were going on at the time.
Okay.
In addition to whatever docs that I've got.
Yeah. Yeah. Nice.
So both and is my answer. Not yeah. just planned, not just improv. And even the way that some of the story arcs go, I intentionally plan for some of them, especially like dungeon dives. I like to have those organized. Like those are a little bit more, you only have like 2 doors you can open. So what are behind those doors? I need to know because they're not a whole bunch of other options. But then I usually pepper that in the middle of a lot more of flexible, improvisational. When you go to a town, there's a myriad of options. And so I'm not going to overplan those types of things. Or like I said, I don't know which town you're even going to go to. So I allow, because I know our players have a little bit of an interest in both as well. So I give you a lot of planning for a couple of weeks, you know, a month at a time. And then we step back when you leave that area. And then it's just, okay, what do you want to do? And I'll make it up with you for a couple of weeks until people feel like they want to get back on the rails again.
That's good. I think if you do find, you know, you'll find either planning it or improv just comes a little bit more natural to you. But don't try to avoid the other side. You know, do your best to embrace it, but you don't have to do 50-50. But you'll notice that I think world building, NPC creation definitely goes a little bit farther when both are at play.
For sure. Absolutely. Yep.
Well, great.
I think that's all I had.
I think that's all I have too for planning versus improv. So until next time,
we will see you all later.